Tony used to work on the docks. He's working on the docks. There's no substitute for Loke. It's a beautiful joke. So love your neighbor and your friend. Ain't it time we love the stranger? They're just friends you ain't met. We got each other, but this world needs a hoe. Whoa, halfway there. Whoa, we're halfway there. Say my prayer. We're halfway there. Whoa, we're halfway there.
Hello, I'm the Bon Jovi critic, and welcome to my podcast, This Sucks, which you can follow on twitter.com at thissuckscast. You can send us an email at thissucks@dadim.gay. I'm Skylar at eggdrinker on Twitter.
And I'm Joey at fishpilled, also on Twitter.
And today we've got a good one for you. We're talking about 2020 by Bon Jovi.
I had to take it in a different direction this time.
Yeah.
As has become obvious, after episode 2, we have run out of things to talk about relating to 2020 by Bon Jovi. So I thought that the only way to better understand the present is to go to the past. So on top of listening to 2020 Deluxe...
You listened to the Deluxe again?
Yeah, I listened to the Deluxe again. I listened to Bon Jovi by Bon Jovi, 1984.
The whole thing?
The whole thing, their first album.
You're a freak.
So I had you listen to... three songs.
Yeah.
What did you think?
They all sounded exactly the same. But not the same as 2020. It sounded like, instead of the most generic modern rock you can make, the most generic 80s rock you can make. Which I guess is just their thing. And I was really, really upset by Shot Through the Heart, because I fully thought until it started that it was You Give Love a Bad Name, which is at least a song you can listen to.
See, I would say that, sure, this is the most generic 80s rock of all time, but generic 80s rock
it's miles
so much better. It's so much better.
I'd rather listen to that every week.
There's at least like enthusiasm of some sort going on.
Yeah, and John Bon sounds entirely different.
Yeah, and also, like, this album is 38 minutes long, 9 minutes. I mean, each track could still probably be cut by a minute, but, like, it felt a lot better.
I bet.
You know, there's a lot of bands that have been around for, like, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Are either consistently bad, consistently good, or there is a consistent decline. And I'm not saying that this album is great, but I'm going to say that it is a consistent decline from here.
I'd agree. Like, they definitely have a large number of songs that you can listen to and not be too upset by.
Like,
any of their top three songs on Spotify, Living on a Prayer, You Give Love a Bad Name, and It's My Life, none of those are disastrous.
I think
you can listen to those.
So I'm gonna continue my journey through Bon Jovi's discography as the weeks go on, and my prediction is one of the next two albums I'm gonna say is really good. Uh-huh. And then past that, I'm just going to get more and more depressed. That's my current thinking of how this is going to go down. I believe that they probably have a better album than this. But then I feel like after that, it's just going to be me double torturing myself.
Can I make a hard prediction?
Okay.
the next album on your journey, 7800 Fahrenheit, mm-hmm. is going to be the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
I also think that you're right.
The first two tracks on 7800 Fahrenheit are In and Out of Love and The Price of Love, which doesn't bode yeah. well for anything.
That doesn't look good. I gotta imagine Slippery When Wet.
That's the peak.
That's probably gonna be the high point. Let me tell you, I can't wait for New Jersey.
No?
Can you imagine naming an album New Jersey? It was a deluxe New Jersey too.
Wow.
And it is it looks like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
But I can't, it's only gonna get worse from there. I can't imagine
like
90s
There's a
Bon
lot
Jovi.
Of consistencies in the naming to this day that just sit wrong with me. Like on New Jersey Deluxe Edition, there's Love for Sale and Love is War. And the boys are back in town in between those two.
On their 2002 album Bounce, the fourth song is called Joey.
That's exciting for
so,
you.
So yeah, I get to look forward to that. Lot more. There's some more Jennifer Nettles. They must have a connection that I'm not aware of.
Maybe they're married.
Yeah, we definitely talked about Bon Jovi's wife before, but it's been so long, and my mind has been turned in the stew that I simply forget who she was or what she did.
I'm investigating John Bon Jovi's wife again.
Don't
no,
say
he's
it.
Married to some girl named Dorothy.
That's unsurprising, but also awful.
Yeah. So I don't know what their problem is.
How was the Bon Jovi listen?
It wasn't that bad, again.
Yeah, I think we're getting into a
I think we're like growing numb.
Well, it's that, or well, yeah, it feels the same as like, you know, your first like month of work at a new place sucks.
And then
like it still sucks. It still sucks, but then it just becomes kind of like an autopilot, turn your brain off sort of thing.
I think we're like vaccinating ourselves to Bon Jovi.
Where I think
just it starts off like real bad. It hits you and you feel like you're gonna die instantly. And then as we keep going and on purpose injecting ourselves with this virus more and more, we just grow immune to it. We just learn how to deal with what's handed to us.
Well, I think that I've learned to maybe selectively listen to the album, and that I feel like my brain knows which parts to tune out because I know they'll be the worst.
And yeah, then,
I'll tune in to the first song, usually.
Yeah, Limitless is awesome. I added Limitless to my liked songs this time. I was having a real good time with it.
I wouldn't go that far yet, but it's definitely
and
I'm picking
I,
up the good parts.
I can't remember at all listening from Do What You Can to Lower the Flag. That's all a blur. And I only remember Lower the Flag because I really like listening to Bon Jovi list city names.
Right. I always pick up when he says Columbine twice. Every
yeah.
time. That's a good...
It's a good one. It's a really... It's my favorite part of the album, probably.
I do think, genuinely, the best statement he makes on the album is probably listing Columbine twice. That's probably...
Yeah.
That's genuinely probably the most impactful thing he's done.
And I still... I don't know what he's trying to get at by doing that.
It...
Like, it's nowhere close to the worst school shooting anymore. Like, it's... baby shit.
You know, we should talk about Bon Jovi's best friend Joe Biden.
I think we should too.
Because I mean, obviously these shootings are horrible, but so
yeah.
is you know, like bombing Syria. But the Bon John seems to be kind of cool on that one.
Well, see, I have a theory for that.
Okay.
This is This isn't the world's album, okay? These aren't the experiences lived throughout the world. Do you think someone in Australia gives a hell about COVID? No. This is America's album. He says it. He says at least one part of the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner on this album, because this is album for post Donnie life, for vote blue no matter who. This is America. And
you know what?
John is not gonna catch you slipping up, okay?
America deserved this album.
That's true also.
This is penance for what they've done to the world, and it doesn't quite make up for it, but let me tell you,
it's on the
close.
Right track. Like,
it's
Bon Jovi's 2024 will be, I think it'll be pretty close to made up for.
Can you imagine, you know, that time that Apple gave everyone that U2 album?
Yeah.
What if they did it again, but with Bon Jovi's
John?
2020?
I think they should do that. I think that would be an awesome political statement.
I think they should do it, but in like 5 or 6 years would be great. But like, could you imagine?
I think they should do it tomorrow so that Donald Trump will have to learn that since he's at a different IP address now, he can make a new Twitter account and just go off about how Apple and John Bon Jovi are gay.
Can you imagine there was so much backlash over that U2 album. Can you imagine if they released 2020 exclusively through Apple, which put it on everyone's phones forcefully, and then people had to just reconcile with 2020, but they like went really hard on advertising. They were like, no, this is like Apple's big political statement, and we're forcing 2020 on everyone's iPhone. And also, when you open Apple Music, it starts the album in full and you can't skip or do anything about it or close the app. It's just gonna play in full the first time you open it. You're welcome.
I think that is what they should do. I definitely respect Apple a lot more if they put on such an inspirational political rally album like John Bon Jovi's 2020.
It really is like when Gal Gadot did the Imagine cover. It's very similar in that it's just like this pittance. Bon Jovi has given us pores this allowance of pity, and we're supposed to thank him for it.
Yeah, it really, I think what's going on, part of the reason it doesn't affect me at much, at least, is that it stopped feeling like some insane commentary on COVID. I think it really hit me when he did the Joe Biden inauguration. Like, that's when I kind of realized that this is just some strange old weird guy that had a thought or two about the thing that all the pores are going through.
Yeah, Bon Jovi really strikes me as someone who thinks that other people care about his opinions in an important or impactful way. Like,
yeah.
He definitely put this out and was like, someone's gonna listen to this and their opinions will change because I, Jonathan Bonathan Giovanni, said them. Like, I can't imagine. I couldn't even think of a comparable person who thinks that their opinions matter in comparison to who they are as a person.
I don't know.
Like, is he like disillusioned at that? Like, because he's obviously played massive concerts. They have like 17 million monthly listeners on Spotify or something insane like that. That's
yeah.
Who, like, I don't know if I've met someone, and like, I've worked in factories with people who would be you know, of age to have been in their 20s when Bon Jovi was big. I don't think I've met anyone who's like, yeah, no, I'm fucking hard for Bon Jovi.
Yeah, no one's a Bon Jovi fan. Like, there are people that are definitely Living on a Prayer fans.
Right. They're like, definitely, like, if a normal Bon Jovi song comes on the radio, I'll probably not turn it off.
Yeah.
But, like, that feels like they're very similar to the Hootie and the Blowfish in that people listen to them and they somehow get made a platinum album, but then no one really cared about them enough to, like, go see them in concert, and then Post Malone did a cover of them.
I think that I know a large amount of 40 to 50 year olds that, given the opportunity, would buy a Bon Jovi best of record, but zero that would actually be able to name two Bon Jovi albums.
No, I think they could name two. I would say I don't think they could name five songs. Okay, see if you can name five Bon Jovi songs that aren't off 2020 or off Bon Jovi that you just listened to.
Yeah, so we'll get the obvious ones. Living on a Prayer, You Give Love a Bad Name, It's My Life. Once we get past that, I think I might be done. Does Here Comes the Sun parentheses cover count?
I don't think I've ever heard It's My Life.
No?
Unless it's a cover of the song by Talk Talk. I don't think I've ever
heard. It goes like, it's my life, it's now or never, I ain't gonna live forever. You know, almost exactly like that.
So who covered... Is the Talk Talk song a cover of Bon Jovi?
When did it come out? Talk Talk one came out in 1990.
Right.
It's looking bad for Bon.
Oh.
The Bon Jovi one came out in 2000.
Okay. If it is indeed a cover of the Talk Talk one, God, I hate Bon Jovi even more.
Are the lyrics the same?
That sounds like the lyrics.
I've turned it on. I'll get back to you in a minute.
Okay.
Let
me tell you, It's My Life by Talk Talk, great song. If you're gonna cover a song, that's a good song to cover, but I can't imagine.
Okay, no, this is an entirely different song.
Okay,
the one that Gwen Stefani covered or something.
Right.
Yeah, no, It's My Life by Bon Jovi is a different thing.
Okay.
Yep. Also curious as to if the second song on this Bon Jovi album, Say It Isn't So, has anything to do with Say It Ain't So.
I don't think it... That would be extremely funny, but I don't think so. I would love... What Weezer song should Bon Jovi cover? And conversely, what Bon Jovi songs should Weezer cover?
I think Weezer should just remake 2020.
Just in its entirety?
Yeah. And I think that Bon Jovi should remake that the one Weezer song everyone knows.
That could be 100 Say It Ain't So?
Beverly Hills.
You know, I bet that 80s Bon Jovi could probably pull that off.
I want modern Bon Jovi to do it.
Yeah, no, I know. I think Weezer should cover It's My Life by Talk Talk, and Bon Jovi should cover California Girls. They should just
like that a lot.
They should do that. They should do
You know, honestly, I think he should do Firework if we're going with Katy Perry. I don't think there's a single other person on Earth that can pull off the lyric, "Do you ever feel like a plastic bag," like Bon Jovi could.
I do think that Bon Jovi should cover all the Pinkerton songs that are the most creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's insane that people like that album. It's one of the creepiest things I've ever listened to.
Can I admit something to you?
Okay.
I've never listened to a Weezer album in my life.
Okay. So Pinkerton, which is their second album that everyone, like, a decade later praises.
Yeah.
Is literally about Rivers falling in love with an underage Japanese girl.
Pardon?
That is exactly what it's about, like, a 16 or 17 year old Japanese fan, like, writing a love letter to him and him being in college and trying to resist the urge to have sex with her.
That sucks.
And people are like, this is such an incredible album. He's really, like, digging deep here. And it's like,
I think just on my own time for fun, I'm gonna listen to all the albums that I'm pretty sure suck, but people say are good. Like, I'm gonna compile a list. So far, what I've got down is there's only two. There's Pinkerton Now and In Rainbows.
I hate Radiohead so much.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone that I didn't want to kill say Radiohead's good at all.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Tool. I will tell you that from memory, the song El Scorcho starts with the lyric, "God damn you, half Japanese girls do it to me every time."
Jesus Christ.
It's insane. Also, because I've seen Weezer in concert, let me tell you, they don't play Pinkerton. They play a lot of stuff. They try to hit up every album. They don't play Pinkerton. They will not touch it. They played Beverly Hills. They did a lot of Blue album. They did a lot of other things that I didn't remember because there are only like three or four Weezer albums that matter in any capacity to begin with. And the one that Beverly Hills is on is not even one of them.
Awesome.
I mean, it was a good show for what it was, but it very much was like, they've done this 5,000 times. They just kind of have it down to a science here.
Yeah, I think Beverly Hills may be the only Weezer song I've ever listened to in my life. I'm not making that up.
I think when I saw them, Pork and Beans was pretty big. So that was kind of the song to beat. I don't know. The one good part about that concert that I remember was actually Beverly Hills, because he did the fucking wah wah sound. And that was pretty cool. And at some point, they all sang. And I told you I accidentally stood next to Rivers Cuomo, right?
I think you've said this to me.
I was at this festival where Weezer was playing, and I got lost. And I'm just, like, way far out of where I should be. This was in Cincinnati.
Mm.
And I just, like, look over, and there's, like, a little shrimpy dude talking to a security guard, just making small talk. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, that's 100% Rivers Cuomo. And I was like, I definitely can't be here. So I kind of just, like, snuck away. And then I went to the porta-potties, and a drunk guy came out of the porta potty and just immediately high-fived me, and I instinctually high-fived him.
Uh-huh.
And then my hand was definitely wet after. I can assure you there was no sink. So that was a great experience. And then I saw Imagine Dragons.
And we've talked about Imagine Dragons.
we've talked
on our other podcast, Random Noise Generator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, I saw it. So it was a 3-day festival, and there were three headliners.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Weezer. It was Jane's Addiction. I always want to say Alice in Chains. It was Jane's Addiction. And Death Cab for Cutie.
Awesome.
And Jane's Addiction, they had fucking, I don't know what you call them. They're those people that dance from ribbons.
Of ribbon dancers.
Right. And they had them, like, they were, like, in white, women in, like, white wedding outfits doing these ribbon dances. And the lead singer for Jane's Addiction was drunk off his ass. Like, he couldn't get through a song. It was one of the, like, worst things I've ever seen. It was incredible. Like, he could barely stand up. He was just slurring at, like, I didn't stay for the end, but I feel like they didn't make it. Like, it
so
was
cool.
Nuts. And then Death Cab for Cutie nailed it, and everyone was losing their fucking minds. Because,
I have something to say.
Okay.
I fucking hate Death Cab for Cutie.
I also don't think they're great, but it was, again, Cincinnati, and they're from Cincinnati, so people were losing their shit.
I guess.
They also had Neon Trees there, who were okay. They had Foxy Shazam. I don't know if you know who Foxy Shazam are.
I've heard the name before. I don't know if it's just because you've talked about them.
I don't think so. They had like a couple hit songs probably a decade ago at this point. They have a very flamboyant singer who kind of sounds like Freddie Mercury, but they had a keyboard player who was bald and just had the biggest fucking beard.
Awesome.
And this keyboard player crowd surfed with the keyboard. And it was one of the best things I ever saw. Also, the singer jumped on the guitarist's back while the guitarist was doing a solo. And also, apparently the lead singer does this fucking party trick where he just eats cigarettes.
That's awesome. This guy rules.
Yeah, and also, the lead singer is very flamboyantly gay. And someone in the middle of a quiet part called him a slur.
Yeah.
At which point he said, "Get up here right now and we'll fight."
Did he get up there?
No.
That's stupid.
Which was kind of surprising, because to be fair, this man was very small.
But so yeah, what you're saying is you would have seen a man die.
Right. But yeah, no, they killed it. It was incredible. I saw Lights, too. That was good. Like, it wasn't good, but I got to, like, stare at her.
Right.
So that was cool. No Bon Jovi.
That's good. It's really good when you don't have to listen to Bon Jovi.
I hate when I go to a music festival and Bon Jovi is just there, shaking his ass or whatever he does.
It's my least favorite thing. What do you think a 2020 by Bon Jovi tour would look like?
Geriatric.
Uh-huh.
I think it would be... The last concert I went to before the pandemic was Beck.
Awesome.
And, it was awesome, and someone... went in the cardiac arrest.
That rules!
And so it was at the DT Energy Theater in Michigan. And the thing about that place is, so it's a big outdoor amphitheater, but like past the seats, it's just a gigantic sloped hill. And they had a, they went in like cardiac arrest from overdosing on drugs in the middle of the hill. So they just rolled? No.
Okay.
But they had to bring a stretcher, like, precarious, and, like, it's, like, packed. Like, there's, I don't know, 25,000 people there. It's a lot of people. And they had to navigate up the hill with a stretcher and then try to get it down without, like, going too fast. It was, and like Beck is just playing this whole time, and it's so big that it's not like he sees it happening.
Yeah.
But everyone around is like trying to like have a good time while a person who might be dead is like getting precariously taken down a hill. Anyway,
that's pretty cool.
That's what I assume happens at a Bon Jovi concert, to answer your question.
Uh-huh. Well, do you think they're going into cardiac arrest there because of drugs or just because of...
old?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because of old.
Right. That's kind of what I was thinking.
I think I'm done with Bon Jovi for this week.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say on the subject.
I'm excited to listen to Slippery When Wet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you can slip onto our Twitter account at This Sucks Cast.
You got it.
You can win into our email at thissucks@dadim.gay. And you can wet our Twitter accounts. Mine is at eggdrinker.
And mine is at fishpill.
And we'll buy Bon Jovi you next week.
What?